Just to start off with this question for you. Does a deeper relationship with God make a real difference in your life? Is that rhetorical or what? Does a deeper relationship make a difference in your life? You know, but it's a legitimate question for those that don't have that relationship. You know, because what would it be that would cause people to want more? It would be hearing you give testimony to what a difference it makes to have a deeper relationship with God. You know, people that haven't experienced that, like for example, don't you feel just heartsick sometimes for people that haven't really experienced deep love in their lives, their relationships? It's, you know, they're missing so much because God intended that when He created us. And so when, for example, our young people, you know, the ones that aren't yet married, when they see the depths of love that God can bring in a marriage, they need to hear the testimonies of people that have been married 31 years or more, you know, to be able to say that, you know, it gets better and better, and it gets incredibly deeper and changes, but it changes in a very good way. Amen? Jane and Bob? Yeah. Jane and Bob first brought us the Marriage in the Rock and the Jimmy and Karen Evans teaching to this church. And that's who did our marriage seminar. For those of you that weren't here, it was Jimmy and Karen Evans with the keynote speakers for that. And I was just so thankful to hear such a clear word from Jimmy. He's a good teacher, good communicator, about how powerful relationship can be. But the truth is also there, how powerful a relationship with God can be, you know, and how much difference it makes to deepen your relationship with God. It makes a difference in both your view of God and God's view of you. Let me say that very clearly in one sentence. Your deepening relationship with God, developing a deeper relationship with God, makes a difference in your view of God and His view of you. Now, I know it's all nice to say that God loves everybody. And it's true. At one level, it's true. God does love everybody. But you cannot read Scripture and not come to the realization that when a man or a woman reciprocates, when a man and a woman then feels that love of God and begins to return it to God, that man and woman gets God's attention. And God treats them, listen carefully, differently. Yeah. I want to show you that in Scripture today. One of the things that we know happens is that we through the spiritual warfare that goes on in this world and in our lives, we undergo challenges, we undergo trials, we undergo temptations, we undergo tribulation. We do. There's no question about that. We're not exempt from those things. But what a difference it makes when you're going through a trial and you have that deep relationship with God. What a difference it makes in your life. See, that's the testimony that I could hear from you this morning. As you have gone through things in your life, you could testify to the difference that having that deep relationship with God has made during those times. Amen? Come on. Yeah. You see, the thing is that you in your life will only have as much peace in those tough times as the level of trust you have in God allows. And the level of trust comes directly in proportion to the depth of your relationship. The level of trust you have of God comes from how much you know Him, that depth of relationship. And so that's the way it flows, that the deeper you get in relationship with God, the more you come to know Him and trust Him, and then the more peace you have in your life because you know God is with you. You know what He's like. You know that he's personal. You know that he cares, as Dee was saying, about the intimate little tiny details, everything about your life he cares about and is involved in. We don't have a God that stands far off. We have a God that is deeply and intimately involved in our lives. But we have a God that also is jealous for us. And when we are responding to him, he really takes notice. His relations with us change whenever we begin to open up to him, whenever we begin to respond to his love. He's always there calling us closer and closer. Everyone, he is. Now, that's the truth. He is calling everyone into a deeper relationship, but only some respond. But those that do, God really reacts to. That's the truth. Those that respond, you know, those that are really wanting a deeper relationship with God, they're seeking it, they're desiring it, you get God's attention when you do that. You really get God's attention. Well, you know, it shouldn't surprise us. You know, when we were dating, you know, and we found out that the girl, in our men's case, you know, actually was interested in us, it changes us. You know, all of a sudden, we get a real good feeling. She's interested in me, you know? We really respond when we know somebody is interested. And that's part of our nature, right? Well, we're created in God's image, so the stuff that we are experiencing in regard to emotions is a reflection of God himself, and God is a God of emotion. I mean, God is a God of emotion. You can't read the scriptures without knowing that. God is deeply emotional. And he deeply is passionate and deeply loves and is deeply interested whenever we respond to him. Yes, he first loved us, but his desire is to keep pouring that love into us so that he wants to elicit a response from us. He wants us to grow deeper. Your view of God makes a huge difference. You know, it makes a huge difference in your life, your view of God. Here's the thing. You're only going to be as close to God as two things. As number one, your view of him allows you to be. You've heard me say that before. Everyone has a picture in their mind's eye and their heart and of what God is like. Everyone does. I don't care if you're, you know, a person that just very moderately believes or someone that deeply passionate believes. Everyone has some view of what God is like. But the thing is, you're only able to get as close to God as the view you have of him allows you. That's why God wanted to move his people beyond legalism, you know, because it's not just about the rules, you know, it really isn't. It's about relationship. And if you are trying to approach God from a legalistic point of view, that means that you're trying to approach him in some way by thinking that, you know, okay, if I just keep enough rules, then he's going to be okay with me, he's pleased with me. But the problem is that when you break those rules, then all of a sudden that perspective of God means that you want to cower away from him. You know what I mean? It's like that you picture God as a policeman that's just ready right away to, you know, pop you on the head with his billy club when you mess up. If you have that picture of God, you're not going to be able to develop the deep relationship that he wants. So your view of God is a big determinant in your relationship with him. Amen? That's why it's so important to dig into the Word and to be able to get your picture of God cleared up. Jesus came to really help with that. People had a distorted picture of what God was, but Jesus came to reveal the heart of God to mankind. So one of the most powerful things you could do is study the life of Christ and study what Jesus was like. Because when you do that, it clears up your picture of God, because Jesus is God. He came to reveal God to us. When you can picture what Jesus was like, it clears up that, right? So you can draw closer. The second thing is that you're only also as close to God as your perception of how he pictures you is. You're only as close to God as the way that you perceive his view of you allows you to be. You know, if you're still picturing yourself as a detestable sinner, for example, you know, then you're not gonna draw close. You're just not because that picture won't let you. If you think God's always looking at you like, oh, you know, they're terrible. That's why grace is so powerful, you know. Grace came through Christ. And the giant difference that it made in the ability to have a relationship with God is that as we approach God with grace now, which means that we see God seeing us through the eyes of Christ as the righteousness of God in Christ. We see God looking at us and, like we sang today, being a friend of ours. That song, The Friend of God, that we sang this morning is really right out of Scripture, because it said that through Christ, what Christ did is he took away everything that would create any kind of hostility between us and God. He took it away so that there was nothing negative that God would see when he looked at you. Nothing. That when you are a believer in God through Christ, when you have accepted what Jesus did for you, and have asked him to apply that to your life, forgiveness, he does. And from that day on, from that moment on, God looks at you differently than he did before. He actually looks at you and sees the righteousness of God in Christ. He does not see your sin anymore. You know this, right? This is what grace has given us. We were praying this morning, and I wrote down in my notes that grace is the oxygen that fuels our passion and our intimacy with God. Grace is the oxygen that fuels that deep relationship. Without the knowledge of grace, we would not be able to feel that we're worthy of his love. We wouldn't be able to feel that God looks at us through the eyes of love and sees the perfection of Christ when he sees us. We would not feel that God is pleased with us. You know what Jesus experienced when he walked upon this earth? You know, he's praying to the Father, and he says, "Father, glorify your name." And the Father speaks back, "I have glorified it." And you know, when God the Father spoke about Jesus, he spoke and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that's what he says of you once you have received Christ? "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased, because you have put on the robes of righteousness that Christ has graciously given you to wear." So you see that your view of God and your view of his perception of you is what helps or hurts you developing that intimacy, that deepening relationship. So when you focus on those two things, on the truth of who God is, what he is like, and on the truth of how he sees you, then you can be more free to approach him, to want and desire and actually receive that more deep intimate relationship with Him. Amen? Now, God's view of you changes. And His interaction in your life changes. You know that there are principles that God lives by, operates by. And we understand the principle of faith. Jesus taught on it so much. In the New Testament, the epistles, you know, they teach it. Paul really understood this in the book of Hebrews. In the 11th chapter, he talked about people that lived by faith and how it pleased God. And he says, you know, the truth is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if you turn that negative statement into a positive one and you restate it, with faith you are pleasing God. Right? It says, for those that believe in Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now let me just say that a little slower, and I want it to sink in. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who want more of Him. He is a rewarder of those that want a deeper relationship. The eyes of the Lord are roaming through the earth looking for that, for a man or a woman that wants more, that wants a closer relationship with Him. And what does He do? He rewards it. He rewards the life of faith. He does. It makes a difference, my friends. It's not just this saying. It's not just, you know, some kind of a wishful thinking. So to some, their faith is like a wishful thinking. That's not real faith. Some people that don't really know God, you know, their faith is more like a hoping. You know, I hope that He's out there. I hope that He exists. And, you know, God doesn't want you to live at that level of faith. He wants you to know, not just a hope. I want to tell you a story from the Scriptures, okay? If you want to follow along, it's the shorter version of this is in 2 Chronicles, right around chapter 30. It's the story of Hezekiah. And I'll give you the quick background of it. The kingdom of Israel had split apart into two, the northern kingdom and the southern. And God tried to get both kingdoms to always turn back to Him and to do what was right. And He would send prophets, and when they wouldn't listen, and there were lots of times when they wouldn't, especially the northern kingdom, God would remove His hand of protection, and when He did that, then they became vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And literally, I mean that. The Assyrians were a group of people that just had grown to hate the Israelites. It's bizarre when you think about it, because before this, God tried to help them. The story of Jonah going to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. So the Ninevites were Assyrians, and God sent Jonah there because He had mercy and compassion on the Ninevites, on the Assyrians. He tried to get them to turn, and they did for a while. They repented when Jonah preached, even though he didn't like it. Right? But then they turned away. It's amazing how God wants to give everyone opportunity, you know. He does. He wants to give everyone an opportunity to turn to Him. So, finally, the Assyrians, who turned completely away from God and would not listen, became actually an instrument of God's hands when they came in and were attacking the northern kingdoms. The southern kingdoms responded differently. The southern kingdom in, you know, Judah, that was headquartered in Jerusalem. King Hezekiah was the king at this time. And the scripture tells us that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Not like his father had done. His father had allowed the idol worship to take place actually in the temple. Can you believe it? You know, Solomon's temple, you know, and the glory of the Lord that had filled that at one time. You know, there were wicked kings that turned so far away from God that they would sacrifice to foreign gods in the temple of the Lord. But Hezekiah, you know, when he was a young man, 25 years old, he began to purify the temple. That's what he did when he was a king. And he cut down all the Ashtoreth poles that the Israelites had erected on the high places. That's what the pagan people did. You know, they put these poles up on high places and worshiped false gods there and did detestable things. But Hezekiah removed all that. And God was pleased, and God blessed him. Now, I want you to hear that, because if you read these stories, you'll see this truth, that when people sought God, when people sought him and to do what was right in his sight, God paid attention, and God listened and blessed them. But I want to tell you, the story of Hezekiah is also the story that even though God blessed Hezekiah for what he was doing, he was not exempt from every trial. For the Assyrians also tried to come down and take over Jerusalem. Do you remember that guy's name? He was the general of the army, Sennacherib. You ever remember reading Sennacherib? That's kind of a weird word. It sticks with me, Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the commander of the Assyrian army. And boy, he was a proud, proud, boisterous, egotistical maniac. He had come down, you know, after raiding the northern tribes. He came down to the edge of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah was not willing to pay him tribute, rebelled against Sennacherib. Long story. Hezekiah tried to appease him at first, but you know, he knew that Sennacherib wasn't going to be happy until he took over the capital city of Jerusalem and all the kingdom and made them his slaves. So it says that Hezekiah called upon the Lord again. This was the days of the prophet Isaiah. And Hezekiah, he fasted and he prayed. And you got to understand, Sennacherib, he was saying nasty things. Here's what he said. He said, you know, hey, no other nation's gods were able to protect them from me. Who do you think you are, and who do you think your God is? Didn't this King Hezekiah already remove God's high places? Well, that was a lie, because what Hezekiah did was remove the false gods' high places. But Sennacherib didn't know anything about that, you know. He wasn't a believer in the one true God. So he began to mock the Israelites, and he even knew Hebrew. And he would call out in Hebrew, you know, to try to scare and intimidate the people of Judah. And Hezekiah, he did what he should have done. He went to the Lord and fasted and prayed. And he poured out his prayers before the Lord, and you know what? The Lord heard. That's the message of that story, is the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer. He actually had told through the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah, that I'm going to send this guy a message, Sennacherib, that's going to make him return to his own country. He's going to back off. He's going to break off his attack of you. I'm going to cause him to hear a message, and he's going to hightail it back home. That's exactly what happened. Then Sennacherib gets the message, you better get back here. We're being attacked on the other side. He goes back home, and this proud, egotistical maniac actually gets killed by his own sons. Gone. The threat is gone. And that the message that rings forth from this story is that Hezekiah's relationship with the Lord caused the Lord to act on his behalf, caused God to respond differently than if he wouldn't have had that relationship. God's always been like this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? God does not change. God said about Abraham, you know, he found his heart faithful. And because of it, God blessed Abraham. Kings of Egypt, or kings of Israel, that turned to the Lord, God blessed. Moses was blessed because of his relationship with God. Moses wanted more. You remember what Moses said? He was talking to God, and Moses talked to God like a man talks to his friend, it says. And as Moses was talking to God, you know, he said, God, your presence is so wonderful. I don't want to go anywhere if your presence isn't going to go with us. And so God said, okay. My presence will go with you. See, what Moses did is exactly what God always desires. You know, Moses had a little taste and of God's presence there, and because of it, he wanted more. And God saw the heart of Moses when Moses said, I don't want to go without your presence. God said, okay, my presence will go with you. Do you know the very next thing that Moses said? You remember this? Now show me your glory. Moses continually wanted more. He wanted more. And you know, that pleased God. God showed him. You see, the message here, we can't miss that when you seek God, you get his attention. When you want more, that's what he wants. He's going to hear you. He's going to answer you. You know why David was called a man after God's own heart? Because he ran after God's heart. He sought the Lord. Who do you know that sought the Lord more than David? Listen to this psalm. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Those are words of passion. No wonder God responded to him. No wonder God said, there's a man after mine own heart. No wonder David wanted that depth of relationship. And the Lord was pleased. He had a yearning for God. And you know what God did? He met that yearning. He awakened David's spiritual sense. I believe David had an experience of the Holy Spirit before, you know, Jesus and Pentecost and the whole availability of the Holy Spirit to us. I know that because when David messed up, the thing that he worried about most, please do not take thy spirit from me. You ever read Psalm 51? It was after the affair with Bathsheba, and David, he's crying out to God, God, I know I messed up, but please do not take your spirit from me. Huh? This is a man that had relationship. What God wanted. God is jealous for us. That passage in Malachi that I was telling you about during offering, will a man rob God? This is the heartbeat of God, that he loves us so much. And we rob him of what he really wants when we stand far off and we don't want more and we don't go deeper and we don't seek him and want that deeper relationship. But it's like everything else in your life, you reap what you sow. You know, what you sow into the relationship you have with God is what you'll reap out of it. You know, God doesn't force. He doesn't coerce. You know that. This is his desire, that you willingly come to him. Even after you're saved and after you receive the Holy Spirit, you have within you the Holy Spirit. I asked Dee the other week, what does it take to develop a deeper relationship with God? She said it takes the Holy Spirit. She's right, but the thing is, it's not automatic. When you got the Holy Spirit, you still You still are required by God. You still are needing to use that spirit within you now to connect with God and to call upon Him and to honor that presence, to be sensitive to Him inside of you. You know, I say it before, I say it again. He's like that gentleman that stands there. He's waiting for you. And when you do call upon Him, He's there. The Holy Spirit inside of you is the means by which, He's the vessel that brings that flow of grace, that oxygen that I was speaking of, that fuels the relationship between you and He and fans it into flame. He's the oxygen that fire, makes the fire burn. He's the one that brings the message of grace to you. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Counselor. He's the Comforter. He is present within you. However, you can ignore Him. It's like you can ignore your wife, or your wife ignore your husband. And you take for granted, right, the relationship. We can take for granted the relationship that we have, the ability to have deeper relationship. We can ignore Him. We can choose to not spend time with Him. You reap what you sow. We sow in our relationship with God what we put into it. The thing is that we gotta remember how powerful it is to have a deeper relationship with God. Because if we can understand that, then we'll be willing to give God our best instead of just our leftovers. I mean, can you imagine how it feels to be God and Him love you so much and all you ever give Him is your leftovers? You know what I mean by leftovers? I mean, you know, oh, if I can squeeze out a minute in prayer or a couple minutes to read. You know, that's leftovers. God wants your best. You know, I like to go to God in the morning because I'm at my best in the morning. I'm a morning person. And some people were not morning persons. I understand that very well. But, you know, I go there because that's when I'm really able to give Him my best, you know. My quiet time is before Kim gets up. It's, you know, it's that time where I can really just pour out my heart to Him, connect. I want to give Him my best, and that's what He deserves. It's what He desires, and when we do, He responds. He really does. Deepening your relationship with God is the best thing you could ever do for you and your family. I have one last scripture that I wanted to share. We all probably have read that passage in the book of Revelation when God is speaking to the church in Ephesus. And He says, I have this one thing against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember that? You know, I have this one thing against you. You have forsaken this first love. It can happen in our relationship with God, just like it can in our marriages. It's like it can in other relationships. Any relationship, we can take it for granted. We can, you know, let it grow cold. We can lose the passion of our first love. And I believe that God calls us back. He yearns for us to return to that kind of a passionate relationship with Him. And He gives us the ability to do so. You reap what you sow. Just remember these three words for me. S-O-W. Whenever you are as sensitive to the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are able to deepen your relationship with God. S-sensitive. You reap what you sow. S-sensitive. Whenever you allow yourself to be aware of God within you, God with you, whenever you become sensitive that He is there, whenever you begin to talk to Him like He's present, it's what made all the difference in my life when I first encountered real prayer. I had never heard the kind of prayer that I heard that day. And I knew the persons that were praying had something I did not have. That intimacy, that ability to feel that God was right there with them. They were sensitive. They were in tune to the presence of God. You reap what you sow. As sensitive. O is obedient. What is obedience? Obedience is simply when you are sensitive and in tune to God, you begin to want to be obedient to that which you know He wants. It's like that in our relationships with others. You know, if I am in tune with my wife, you know, I'm in tune with what she wants, right? I'm in tune with what she wants. And being in tune, though, doesn't get me a hill of beans until I act upon it. You know, why do they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? It's when you act upon it. To obey, God says in His Word, is better than sacrifice. You know what that means. It's not about going through the rituals, the motions. Obeying God is when you say to God, I want what You want. I want to please You, and I will do that. And the W is willingness. Do you know how powerful a willing heart is to God? Do you realize that when He looks at you and He can see a willingness, buddy, He knows that that's something He can work with? That's something that now He can use because that's what He wants, a willingness to open up for more. Willing. How many times have I talked about how that God made us the way He did with the ability to have our own wills and that He never violates that because He wants us to be choosing Him, to be willing to invite Him in. And He waits until we are, like the gentleman of the Holy Spirit. But when we are willing, what happens? Wow, I'll tell you what happens. As soon as God begins to see a willingness in your heart, man, He begins to work in that. He begins to work through that. He begins to fan that into flame. He begins to respond to it. When you become willing, Lord, I am willing to grow in my relationship with You. I'm wanting it and I'm willing for it. Lord, draw me closer. It's what I want. It's what I will. And God says, that's all I've ever wanted. That's all I've ever wanted. With somebody that starts with a willingness. You know, that's where faith starts. That's why Jesus said just a little faith of a mustard seed. He can work with that. Because He can grow it into the biggest plant, Jesus said, in the field, right? Willingness. You sow, and then you reap. And I'm here to state to you today that those that are willing to sow into their relationship with God will reap so much more. So much more. Pressed down, shaken over, running together, you know, poured into you. When you sow into your relationship with God, God will exponentially sow back into your life. But it's our choice. It's always been. It always will be. Taste and see. The Lord is good. He wants that deeper relationship with you. Allow Him to get through and to call you forward. Deepen that relationship. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Here I am on a sub-zero day. preaching to people that got out of the warmth of their beds to come to church on a day when, you know, it would have been much easier to stay in bed. I recognize that, but I think the word is for all of us. We all can grow deeper. We all can grow deeper in God, and He wants it, and He will bless it. Amen? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You so much for Your love for us, Lord. Love because You first loved us. But we want a deeper relationship with You. We want to grow, Lord God, closer to You, to know You better, to love You more. We know we need it, Lord. We know it because whenever, Lord, the trials come, this is what will bring us peace. We know, too, that You respond so much to our faith and our love for You, that You'll be there for us. You move mountains for those that have that faith in You, that trust, that relationship. So draw us closer, Lord. Lord, we give You permission. We invite You in. We welcome You like we sang here today. We welcome You into our lives. Lord, help us to give You all of our heart, the best of us. For You deserve it, Lord. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we don't want to rob You of what You truly desire. All of us, our whole heart. We give it to You today anew. In Jesus' name.